Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Yeah. Cap, Taj.
Woo! Connecticut. Yes, we're here at Sports City Chefs Network. It is the Callers Cookout with the Villain versus TP Timeless, where good always wins. But, you know, like I always say, every good hero needs a villain. And TP Timeless has got the best one. It's the villain in the house. We're with you for the next 60 minutes. Call number 929-477-2759. We're here. We're locked. We're loaded. We got the pots and pans bubbling. We got everything ready. Plates about to be served. And I got the best in the biz. The superhero himself, Timeless, TP Timeless. What's up, brother?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. This grill is lit, ready to get roasted. We got a game taking off tomorrow evening. I'm feeling some type of way about everything in the sport landscape. Thank you to everybody that's been supporting us and doing their due diligence on and off the ship as best as possible. I love every last bit of it. Hands full, the bird months are here. September sets it off. We got week one under our feathers, if we will, or under the books. However we look at it, man, but I'm feeling some type of way. The energy is pretty electric. I can't say too much about it. How are you feeling, villain yourself?
I'm doing great, man. We got a lot of things cooking, man. You know, running 100 miles a minute, but we blessed, we highly favored, we doing our thing. So I know your energy always perks me up. My energy always perks you up, so we always feeding off each other, and away we go. So I also got calling in from the 615. I think it's my main man, Big Mike Harvey from the barbershop clubhouse. Mike, what's going on, brother?
What's up, everybody? Time, Barry, thank you guys for having me on, as always. Man, such a lot of stuff to unpack. A recap of week one. I got a couple things to comment on after predictions were made on the brunch on Sunday. But not week one in the books. And, you know, we caught it on Sunday with the USC thing. We already got a coach fired in college football. Got a couple names already being talked about to replace him. So lots of good things to talk about tonight. I'm definitely looking forward to chopping up with y'all. I don't want to jump in anything until you guys lead it there, but thank you guys for having me as always. I'm looking forward to cooking out tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, definitely check out Mike on the clubhouse on the barbershop. They do a great job with TP and Groove. Those boys, love those guys. So yeah, let's get right to it. News that just came across my desk: Cowboys defensive end Lawrence is out for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot. So that's a big blow for the Cowboys. Prayers up for him. Hope everything's all right. But Mike Harvey went right into it. I definitely want to touch on the college game real quick. After a crazy weekend, we talked about it on the brunch, like you said. We said USC needs a voice that is a new voice that can possibly get them to the promised land and to where USC football should be. We didn't think Clay Helton was long for this season, and it turns out the chefs are right. He was fired after the game, a day after the game, which USC lost to Stanford unceremoniously. So already people being linked to that job. Urban Meyer came out today and said there's no chance that he leaves the NFL for that job, which means he's probably in consideration for that job. But there's a lot of candidates being thrown out there. TP, I want to come to you first, brother. USC fired Clay Helton. I think everybody kind of feels he was the safe pick after the debacle with the last couple coaches that they had, Lane Kiffin and company. But he wasn't really the guy that was going to lead that school. So where do you think USC goes now, and if you want to lament on Clay Helton's tenure as the head coach of the USC Trojans?
The crazy part about it is I don't know who the suitor would be because this job is so high of a profile. The situation that they've been going through, USC has not been strongly relevant for at least a college football playoff bid in quite some time, let alone to be a national championship contender. Helton starting out the block stumbling, especially losing at home to Stanford team by double digit, is unacceptable, especially in the Pac-12 where I put it on myself, where I'm not too thrilled with Pac-12 football, even though one of the teams had a huge win this past weekend. I'm not too thrilled at what the Pac-12 has been doing for years on end. USC has always been a strongly relevant school or university or team that we're looking at coming out of the Pac-12 to be one of the impactful teams that will be in the top 25 that will give teams fits. They lost this game, and this is clearly a situation that could potentially end up knocking them out of the top 25 and further, with other teams going to be coming at them, throwing in their best situation. That Urban Meyer situation, not only is he not in consideration for that job, Urban Meyer has a history of leaving teams when things get hot. So if there's a situation in Jacksonville, if it doesn't work out well, he'll probably leave in two to three years stint. I don't think he's going to leave after year one. That's he develops these players after a little bit, and he's going to fully retire from football. Urban Meyer is up there in age. He has health issues that he has to deal with or fight through, however the situation that may present itself. And he's not going to go all the way to USC to start coaching USC to try to rebuild that program and end up leaving because he's going to be longer in the tooth in life. So I feel like this Jacksonville job is the last job that he'll end up taking because he's already had health considerations from Florida to Ohio State to now being here and older. So that this is just something for media-driven topic to try to throw his name in a hat. I don't really have a name. I mean, I discussed some of them last night in a different setting, but I'm not surely content on any of the names that we can mention. If any of these people are uproot themselves from where they are and try to be the coach of the Trojans at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of names that people are kind of floating around there. I mean, I heard like Matt Campbell from Iowa State. I don't know if that's a fit. I know they were talking about – I heard names like Greg Schiano. No. Kyle Whittingham, Utah coach, that might be a nice fit. That might be an upgrade. Eric Bieniemy is a name that's been floating around, so – we'll see where they go. Mike, what is your opinion on USC? I mean, you talked about it Sunday, but I definitely want to get your take and the Urban Meyer name that always gets thrown out there when a high-profile job comes open.
So Urban Meyer is a name that was just thrown out there to try to grab headlines. I think that Ty has said any and everything that needs to be said about that, so I'm not even going to justify that anymore. So let's go in a different direction. Eric Bieniemy is a very interesting name. I read that this morning. The first name that I saw in ties to that job is Luke Fickle, who is doing a very nice job at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, was an interim coach at Ohio State for a minute. But let me rewind for a second and say with Clay Helton, because of kind of the uproar and everything that was around Kiffin and everything that went on there, when he kind of came in and just sort of rallied that team for the bowl game, and so he kind of got some goodwill. And they've been looking to fire him for the last 3 years. And quite honestly, I mean, it's been, you know, 16 years or so, like several years before they were really, like, were in the contention of actually playing for a championship. They've had hopes and expectations for it every year because it's SC, right? But they really haven't been there in a long period of time. And so the last few years – they've been wanting to fire Helton. He's always lost a game or two. But then when they're ready to get it done or when they're really thinking about it, the team will come back and play really well to close out a season or something. So they're like, no, we can't let him go now. We got to continue to go with him. But if you go back and look at articles, even towards the end of the year, there's a lot of longtime sports writers saying he was not the longtime answer there. I mean, listen, he did a nice job at Western Kentucky before he went out there to that staff. So it's not really, you know, that's apples and oranges, right, when you go to USC. So Luke Fickell is the first name I heard. I'm not sure if, you know, I know he's a Midwest guy, I believe. And now that Cincinnati is at some point going to be jumping to the Big 12, he could think that they still have as legitimate shot as he would at SC to play for a championship. So it's just where you want to coach. I mean, quite honestly, the expectations are lower at Cincinnati, right? He can contend for a championship occasionally and still, you know, keep that job where you go out to USC two or three lost seasons for two or three years in a row, like your seat gets really hot. The second name I saw was Bob Stoops. You know, he's late in his, I mean, obviously stepped down for a while, but that was the other name. He's more likely to go out there than Urban Meyer, I think. It's a question of how much he misses it and is it a big time enough job for him to take. You know, there are some other guys like some young offensive coordinators that, even at a pro level, that I could see people thinking, okay, this guy may have the energy or whatever to really do this job. SC is, you know, Pete Carroll had been in the pros a couple times or whatever, but, you know, some people thought he was a great hire when he first got hired out there, and some people were just kind of shrugging, like, okay, you got a twice-fired NFL coach coming out. And, you know, he exceeded expectations out there and did a nice job, and I think we see what kind of coach he is by what he's been able to do with the Seahawks since he left there. But, you know, it's not like he was super high profile other than having that NFL experience when he came in. So the two, three names that I would say right now, and obviously it's still very, very early because we got a whole season left, but Fickell, Bieniemy, and maybe Stoops. But I really want to see, and I he should have last year. I'm just hoping that Eric Bieniemy gets an NFL job.
Yeah, he's been pretty picky, Bieniemy, with where he wants to go. I think, you know, it might be the smart move. Don't just take the first job that comes up. You know, he's still getting paid pretty well to be a pretty darn good assistant. His in that offense is always going to score, so he's always going to be in demand every season. So, but yeah, I think Bob Stoops is an interesting name. I think his brother is probably even a better name. Mark at Kentucky, he's done a great job there recruiting.
That's a hard
and getting
place
them.
To win too.
Yeah, absolutely
that's
SEC.
That's a
so.
Hard place to win a basketball school. In a tough conference. And, I mean, you know, obviously not national championship contenders, but that team has had a run of success unlike ever seen in Kentucky football history. It's almost like what Dan Mullen was able to do at Mississippi State. The Mississippi State's probably a little bit better football school than Kentucky ever was.
Right.
Though Kentucky had Tim Couch, so, I mean, that might be the most high-profile player to come out of either one of those programs. Mississippi State has put more guys into the pros and whatnot, but Dan Mullen used that as a springboard to Florida, where he's going to get better talent and you know, be able to do more with the players that he has. And so, I think you're right, like especially because he's a little bit younger and the success that he's had. I think Mike Stoops would be a very good candidate to go out there.
Yeah, because I don't think Kentucky's the last spot for him. I think, you know, he's going to probably look for that high-profile job. I think that's a great fit for him. But, you know, USC's got to get it right. They got to get the right coach in there and excite the fan base. And they got to get somebody that can recruit. I mean, I don't know. I don't live out there, but I know that there's a lot of talent that has been leaving California for other places in the SEC maybe in the Big 12 with Big 10, I mean, with Ohio State and company. So they got to be able to recruit. They got to keep their guys home, keep the talent. When's the last quarterback they had? There used to be guys sitting in the bench like Matt Castle that couldn't get in the game, and he was an NFL player. They don't have that anymore at the quarterback position at USC, so they got to be able to recruit. I got to call her in. Right. I got to bring him in. Siri. Yeah, hold on one second, Mike. I want to bring Sirius in, get his take, and then we can kind of keep going. Sirius, what's going on, brother? How you feeling today?
You know what, gentlemen, I'm good, man. Pleasure to be here with you guys today.
Absolutely. So we're talking USC. I'd love to get your take on it. Then I definitely want to get moving into some other topics, bro.
You know, one of the names that I haven't heard on this particular broadcast that unfortunately makes me angry for obvious reason is James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State Nittany Lions. His name is also being floated out there as a possible candidate. You know, and honestly, if USC is able to pluck him from Penn State, I think that immediately makes them an issue to deal with, because James Franklin can definitely recruit. And I heard you, Barry, mention the fact that, you know, hometown is not staying at home. You put James Franklin in front of a parent or a future scholarship athlete, and it kind of gives you cause to pause a little bit. So, obviously, the enemy, his resume speaks for itself. I heard that name get floated around. Stoops was another one. But honestly, to not be redundant, James Franklin is definitely being talked about, and he really did put the situation to bed when he was asked about it, you know, during his press conference yesterday. All he said was that he was focused on Auburn, our next opponent on Saturday night. He didn't necessarily dead the issue like Urban Meyer did when he was mentioned about it in his press conference. So it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's an interesting name, too. I don't know if he would leave, but, I mean, I think he's got a good thing going on at Penn State. But, you know, you look at the two schools. I mean, USC is a really high-profile school. That's a step up, so we'll see. Mike, you had a thought. I want to definitely get it out before we switch gears. No? Mike, you there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got you real fast. You mentioned Matt Campbell. At Iowa State, and I think a lot of people at Iowa State wonder every year if he's going to go because he's had success here. He's always been a notoriously slow starter, though, but they played well later in the year at Exhibit A this past Saturday. That didn't play very well. But Matt Campbell's a guy they kind of look to move every year. I wonder if it's a pro job that's next, but that is a name to kind of look out for if USC goes deep enough in their pockets. As far as James Franklin, I think he is from that area, too, if I'm right, Sirius. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but from the Pennsylvania area. So,
he went to school at USC, but I mean, he's from Pennsylvania, but he went to school out there in California.
So, to me, the only other reason, too, and it's kind of reference to what Tom said earlier, the Pac-12, he could think, is an easier road to a championship than the Big Ten. And so I figure he could still get the same caliber of athletes or whatever, if not more, and he could think that that's an easier way to be a national champion coach at USC versus Penn State. I think you can win at Penn State with all that tradition there, but I do think that right now and for the last several years, the Big Ten has been significantly better than the Pac-12.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's funny they do, but then once bowl season rolls around, the Pac-12, like, you know, they surprise. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go after this season. I don't think they'll make a hire. They'll probably announce something right after the bowl season. So we'll see what happens there. But they got to get it right, because that's a school – that's a power school that's got to be back in the national championship conversation. But, so switching gears, let's talk a little NFL. You know, we did get into it a little bit last night on the NFL free-for-all with Rodri and Sirius. Talked a little bit a week run, but I definitely got a new cast here. I want to talk some week one with TP Timeless, Mike Harvey from Clubhouse, and Sirius. Listen, week one, I mean, there was a lot of good games. There was a lot of – there's a lot of surprises, I think, in my book. You know, especially Mike called it out, how we came out and handicap the games. I think I took a lot of points. I took a lot of dogs to cover. I didn't take them to win, but they just beat outright. I mean, it was crazy, the outcome of the games. You know, we can go up and down the list. But, I mean, TP, I'm going to come to you first, you know, as the head honcho here. I mean, there was a lot of surprises in week one. We could go all the way down the list, but if you had to pick your biggest surprise, either player or game, I want to stick with the games, What was your most surprising outcome from week one of all the games that were played on Thursday through Monday?
Without any doubt, if I'm doing team the Green Bay Packers, there's no way that I'm looking at a Green Bay Packers team that lost their first home game in playoff history in quite some time. They lost consecutive NFC Championship playoff games. And losing to a Tom Brady to the fact of Aaron Rodgers sitting here saying, I'm looking to retire. And then on draft, they say, well, I want to get traded. And then when August arrives, he says, just bring me Randall Cobb and relax. Green Bay does everything that they can in a span of 2 to 3 days. They get Randall Cobb to Green Bay. They should be flying on all cylinders and going to the theme of them being Super Bowl bound, which things could turn around at any given time of this season. For them to get beat by 5 touchdowns in a game up against the New Orleans Saints is puzzling, and I am shaking the heck out of my head right now. You mean to tell me that this guy was 8 yards away from getting to a Super Bowl and looking that terrible up against the New Orleans Saints defense, which I have been reminded by my brother here, myself, and Mike Harvey himself, because he's a diehard resident Saints fan, that the Saints have been a top 10 defense in the league. So I have to give them their credence and respect in that nature. But I'm not thinking that they're going to lock Aaron Rodgers up week one with not too many injuries to worry about other than their line issues that they may have with Bakhtiari up front. But other than that, everything was a fly. I have on my fantasy team, I have Aaron Jones and Tanyan. Do you know what these two combined for in fantasy points in this game?
I think it was like 5 points.
It's actually three, but I really want to say two because Aaron Jones had 2.2 and Tanyan had 0.8 to make it 3 points. So I really wanted to say two, but you get the gist because that 0.8 don't mean nothing. So you mean to tell me Robert Tanyan has been going to work all summer long to play, you know, tight end university, they call it, with Kittle, Kelsey, Hockenson, Andrews, all of the toughest tight ends in the league, they go together. You threw him one pass for 5 yards. Aaron Jones can't even get started in his offense. And you threw for under 140 yards. He had 133 yards passing. Incredible. This is Aaron Rodgers. This is the MVP of last year's season. This is incredible that this is how the season starts on grass. The Saints are a turf team. On grass, you got blown out this bad? I'm not buying it. I'm puzzled by the Packers.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, not a pleasant surprise. That's a disaster, disappointment. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I had Aaron Rodgers in our fantasy league and absolutely crapped the bed. I actually put a waiver wire immediately for Matt Stafford, and it's going to be a play-by-play kind of thing. Sirius, I'll come to you. Who was your – I mean, I want to see, like, a pleasant surprise for you. Like, who were you – and if you say the Steelers, I'm going to come – I'm going to fly down there, and I'm going to come see you. But, you know, if you do say – I wouldn't be surprised if you did say it. It's fine. But who – what team were game pleasantly surprised you on either Thursday, Sunday, or Monday?
Pleasantly surprised. I mean, I got to eat some crow here, and say the Houston Texans. And the reason why they surprised me is because they just went out there and played ball. They just went out there and played ball. They didn't read the press clippings. They didn't listen to us because we were you know, killing them and saying, you know, they trash cans and this, that, and the third. They just went out there and just took care of business. So if there was one team, well, actually there are two teams, but I'm gonna say my second team. You know, it's not, I don't take up too much time. I'm gonna say the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, we said it last night. I had to eat my words. I didn't think that they had anything left. You know, their star quarterback is the number three in the depth chart, and they came out and they embarrassed the Jaguars and Urban Meyer in his first NFL game. So. That was definitely a big surprise. Mike, what about you? What do you think the first was surprise from week one as we reflect on everything that transpired?
Well, you know, I have to give a plug to the Saints. The defense has been pretty good. I did not expect
obviously a performance like that,
I thought we would have to I thought the Saints would have to outscore them in order to win that game, and they did. But I think just reminded that there are multiple systems and things that can work in the league, and maybe this time it was because you were able to build a lead in some ways too. But interesting stats to me in that Saints game were Jameis Winston only threw the ball 20 times, completed 70% of his passes for only 148 yards, 5 touchdowns. Fewest yards ever in the NFL Super Bowl era in a game to have 5 touchdowns. But efficient, and a team that really invested in its offensive line. Like, all the players they had to let go around the cap time, they invested in their line, and they were able to run the ball, right? And so when you got a rookie quarterback like Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball 50 times, you got Josh Allen, who's made plays with his legs, and you have a team that at times has been able to run the ball, throwing the ball 50 times. Another team wins only throwing it 20 and still finds a way to get it done. I think that the other thing that really surprised me was the Arizona Cardinals, and some of it was Tennessee being a little banged up, but Kyler Murray looked fantastic. That defense looks like a problem with J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones on both ends. That is, in my division, as I've said multiple times, the best division in football, I believe. But the Cardinals showed up and played and look like that they really have they might be a problem throughout this entire season. So I was impressed with them, and kind of my one disappointing thing to what time said earlier too. I would say the same
Hold that point. Because I'm gonna go around the room with that one. So I definitely want to hold that one. Hold it for me. But you took my surprise because I was gonna say the Cardinals. Of course you did because you're in my mind. You know, like I agree with you. I was thoroughly impressed with the Cardinals. I thought Kyler Murray had a really good game. Chandler Jones coming back from injury, I think that was kind of understated by everybody out there. The impact that he would have in J.J. Watt, I think people knew it, but I don't think they understood that how good the Cardinals line was when Chandler Jones got hurt, and then you just add him back and J.J. Watt, and they were just all over Tannehill all game. I was thoroughly impressed with the Cardinals, but I'll go another route. Despite a loss, I think the Browns and the Cowboys actually showed me something last week. The Cowboys played really well against the defending Super Bowl champs. I mean, Dak having to throw the ball over 50 times, I don't think that's a recipe for winning, but, you know, the passing game was working. I think they need to get, you know, Dak needs to get Zeke the ball a little bit more and running the football, use him in the run game a little bit more. But I was impressed with what I saw from the Cowboys. They're going to be a tough out. And, you know, we talked about it last night. I think the Browns showed that they can play with the Chiefs. They just need to do it for four quarters. I thought, you know, the first half holding that team to 10 points in their building was pretty impressive. They were able to run the football. They were able to, get after Mahomes a little bit. I mean, the Chiefs, people don't realize they have all new offensive linemen. This year, the defense played well, but I felt like, and I think Sirius said it last night, they took their foot off the brake a little bit, off the gas, I mean, and they didn't keep the pressure on. Once Mahomes started moving the ball, I think they started to panic and wanted to throw the ball. If they had kept with the game plan, I think they would have beat the Chiefs. So, despite those two losses with the Cowboys and the Browns, I think they more or less put people on notice that they're a good team, they're going to be around. So that was my pick. So, Mike, I'm going to come right back to you. Give me your biggest disappointment from week one. Who out there, and there was a lot of them to go around, but what team, in your opinion, disappointed you the most after week one? Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did it to you one more time. My bad. I
did it again.
To me, the Packers in some ways just by the way they competed, but I'm not. You know, time went in on that really well. To me, it's the Titans, right? It's you played at home. You just gave Julio this money. There's all this talk about, are we really on the verge of being, you know, in true contenders for the AFC this year? And as time said about the Packers, there's still plenty of time for things to change and things to come around. But just the way that team, I mean, they got whipped from pillar to post, stem to stern, whatever you want to call it. And in every facet of the game, on their home turf, you know, when they got to sleep in their own beds and wake up and eat their own food, like in a comfortable environment where you're supposed to be able to perform and you're expected to win at home. I mean, the way they looked this past week, I mean, home field advantage ain't going to matter to them, even if they do make the playoffs. So, like, obviously it's a long season and that may change. That is a very rowdy fan base in Tennessee, and it's a pretty electric environment to play in, honestly. But they did not. They did not play well at all. They didn't do – Tannehill looked terrible. Julio Jones wasn't able to really get off. They didn't really do – Derrick Henry didn't get much. They keyed in on him. And teams are going to continue to try to make Ryan Tannehill beat them. They're going to crowd the box. They're going to try to make life hard on Derrick Henry. They're going to try to make Ryan Tannehill beat them. If he can make some throws as the year goes on, then that'll make people back off a little bit, and then Derrick Henry will be able to eat. But they're going to try to make it very, very difficult and do the best they can to prevent the Tennessee Titans from being able to establish the run early. And right now, if you're daring Ryan Tannehill to beat you with his arm and you can confuse him a little bit with your looks on defense, I'm not convinced he can do it. And this team, it did not look good this week. Things can come back around, but this team may struggle.
Yeah, I was not happy with that performance. I can go in on that too. TP, I'm going to come to you because you gave us a disappointment, and it was, you were spot on. Who else you got was a disappointment? And if you want to throw in a surprise, go ahead. But I'd love to get your opinion on this one.
I hate to be like critical on this one because I feel like I'm picking at hairs. There's two teams, but I'll choose one out of the two to save time. I'm going to go with the New York Jets. I feel like the Jets should have been able to go into Carolina and win that game up against the Panthers, and they fell flat on their face. There's not too much change with the Jets. As much as I am a big Zach Wilson fan, they did what they could to try to get back in that game and still couldn't win that game. I am not thoroughly impressed with what the Panthers have, and I know that was just one big thing for Sam Darnold to beat the team that he just left, but it's like, come on. Like, the Jets are, to me, as safe as I want to be and say, like, this is a 1 to 3 year, this may be like a 2 to 4, 4 to 5 year project. Like, the Jets are in shambles really bad, top to bottom, from management, staff, players. Like, they don't have a strong running game. Zach Wilson is making plays in the throwing game as a rookie, like, trying his best to save these guys and couldn't up against the Carolina Panthers team that really didn't impress me out of the gate, even though they were up early and threw a bomb to Robbie Anderson. You know, Robbie couldn't wait to burn them, too. This is all like a get-back game for the Jets, letting go some of these players to a Carolina Panthers team that actually took advantage of the situation and win this game. So I'm not thrilled at what the Jets did also on the road up against the Panthers team, where I feel like they could have stole that game in Charlotte, North Carolina. The other one would have been the Vikings, but I want to save time. The Vikings shouldn't have lost to Cincinnati, but I'll save that.
Yeah, no, if you want to go in on that, go ahead real quick.
That went overtime. The Vikings got the ball back and ended up letting the Bengals take care of business. This came down late into the game in overtime, and the Bengals doing what they could to get that field goal to edge them out in the end of the game. Kirk Cousins, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I mean, 351, 2 touchdowns, that's a good fantasy line, but this is a defense that you should be able to take care of. Cincinnati has not been impressive in the AFC North. They have not been strong in years past. I want to say since Andy Dalton left, and I don't even feel like giving Dalton any credit. But they did a good job running the ball with Joe Mixon and company, but enough is enough. They gave you too much money for you to be falling short in a game that you have to have right now. You're in the NFC North where it's going to be tooth and nail, biting and clawing at these games, and this is a must-win situation for you guys, and you guys let it slip. I think the blame goes majority around the board, but I'm tired of looking at Kirk Cousins with a 3-year, $88 million contract, and he's still mediocre at best, and I feel like I'm giving him points.
I agree. I'm so done with Kirk Cousins. I'm so done with him. What'd you say, Mike?
I got about 15 seconds on that game, real quick, just to
yeah,
just
go ahead.
Say
go ahead.
It. There's a, there's a lot of talk with his struggles in the preseason and Jamar Chase, and people are starting to kind of write him off because he had a tough preseason. Tiger to Tiger connection for a long touchdown. If they can protect him and they don't get him killed, meaning Joe Burrow, I think you could see that happen more times. That offense is going to be pretty interesting if they can keep the quarterback upright, and they're going to have to be because of that terrible defense. I mean, they had a 21-7 lead and let them back in the game, right? So they had a chance to try to close it out, and the defense couldn't really stop them after that. So, I mean, they're going to score some points, though. You got Higgins and Chase and with Mixon in that running game. That has a chance to be a pretty electric offense and kind of fun to watch. So, like, if you're flipping around, 3 o'clock game, whatever else, or you just happen to catch it somewhere or whatever, that they at least may be entertaining to watch.
Yeah, Mixon is underrated as a running back. I don't feel like he's in the upper echelon with the big guys, but, I mean, he's a darn good running back, and he just consistently he was a big champ for me last year until he got hurt. Sirius, I'd love to hear your biggest disappointment really really quickly, and we got a caller in queue I want to bring in too as well.
All right, so I'm going to keep it short and sweet just for the sake of time. The biggest disappointment for me would be Atlanta Falcons. You know, no disrespect to the Philly Eagles. You know, my wife is sitting here giving me the evil eye. But the Atlanta Falcons just went out there and just were the same old Atlanta Falcons. You know, you trade Julio Jones. Kyron was supposed to step up and be the guy. He gave you nothing. Russell Gage gave you nothing. You spend, you know, high draft capital on Kyle Pitts, and he gives you nothing. You don't establish a running game. You can't block nobody. You can't stop nobody from, you know, from doing anything to you. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles look like a dumpster fire, you know, during the preseason and whatnot. And Jalen Hurts looks like the second coming of Donovan McNabb, and Devontae Smith is, you know, catching touchdown. It was a problem for the Atlanta Falcons. So they were my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what? How long has it been, Sirius, since the Super Bowl? 4 years? I mean,
yeah, something like that.
I mean, they still haven't recovered. And I said it on the show. I said it in the review on Sports City Chefs. If you go to the review of the AFC South, NFC South, I mean, I said it. Atlanta made a mistake. I love Kyle Pitts, but retooling around Matt Ryan was a mistake because I saw it in New York with the Giants, and they're doing it again in Atlanta, trying to retool around an older quarterback instead of blowing it up and starting over. This team has not recovered from the Super Bowl, and they don't look like they ever will. They're horrid. Their defense is bad. The offense can't get it moving. They're going to learn really quickly that they need to blow this thing up. And I agree. Listen, I was disappointed in Tennessee. I don't know what's going on with Julio Jones and Mike Vrabel, but they better figure it out. They're a team that's, you know, dangerous, middle of the road, but can't get past. They're not going to get to that upper echelon and be a real threat because that defense is keep taking a step back every year, it looks like, and they just haven't gotten any better. And you know, week one was just indicative of all that. I'm going to bring this caller in, calling two from the 203. It's actually Mike. Mike, what's going on? Okay, Mike's not there. If you're there, come on in. But listen, I just don't understand.
How you doing?
What's up? What's up?
Am I listening?
All right, we got.
Can you hear me?
You're on. You got to be quick. Come on. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Oh, wow. All right. How's everybody doing? Just chiming in.
Yeah, so talk to me. Disappointments or any surprises from week one? You got to keep it quick because we got to keep the line moving. Everybody's got to eat.
All right. I can't show favoritism. I got to start with my Buffalo Bills. Disappointment. Just hurt me.
Oh, really?
Serious? Be nice. But. So what? I mean, what disappointed you about the Bills, Mike? I mean, talk to me. I know you've been a Bills fan as long as I've known you. So I mean,
that's right.
What
yeah,
happened?
Man. Especially, we tooled so much around Jay. You know, I think our core unit last year on offense was great. We returned, what was it, 23 of our starters from special teams offense, and we can't even move the ball against a hurt secondary in the Steelers. I mean, I was completely depressed. I saw what our defense did. I mean, we held Ben 180 yards, and they only had 70 yards rushing. How the hell did they beat the Bills with only 200 yards total? I mean, I'm completely depressed right now, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, the Steelers offense, serious, didn't look very great. You know, they were doing a lot of short passes. The run game wasn't really there. But I think, you know, we're looking at Josh Allen. He didn't have a really good game. I think he threw He threw over 50 passes.
Why do we let him throw the ball 50 times? Oh, my God.
I mean, I think the run game has to get better. Go ahead, Sirius.
So here's the deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Again, I'm going to try to be as unbiased as possible because, again, I'm the only still a fan here. You know, the issue with that, honestly, is your running game. You have no running game. Josh Allen is your running game. And I'm going to say this. You know, for those who thought they were going to come in, you know, either Pittsburgh or Buffalo will come into that game and sling the ball over the yard and throw up a bunch of points, you haven't been paying attention. Buffalo has a very, very, very decent defense. Pittsburgh also has a very, very decent defense. Points were going to come at a premium. So, you know.
Let's be honest. I mean, that man's an animal. He actually lived up to signing his contract on his very first game. Most of the time when they get the bag, they kind of fall back. Hey, let me protect myself. Hey, TJ was going crazy. That was their whole game. But it was enough.
Well,
look at
this. Yeah, we could probably talk, you know, off air about it more in depth. But, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ingram did his thing. Heisman did his thing. Watt did his thing. You know what I'm saying? Josh Allen is a problem. You know, I can't really throw shade like I want to throw shade after a win. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, both teams did what the hell they were supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't running the football, you know, on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wasn't able to establish a run. Big Ben plays like trash away from Pittsburgh. Josh Allen routinely, statistically, over the course of his career playing for Pittsburgh, has had pitiful games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The only time he got loose was, you know, last year, the one time we played him, but routinely Josh Allen has played pitiful versus Pittsburgh. It is what it is. Chalk it up to a bad week and keep it moving, man. Y'all going to be a problem. We probably will see you guys again later on down the road. And
I'm going to hit you with a stunner, you know, since I'm down here in the dirty. Who I'm not surprised by are the Cowboys, and I want to tell you why. Everybody around me, I live in Dallas, you know, everybody's filthy, and they talk so much great shit. And when we go view them in practice, because you can go directly there, you know, Dak is very fragile right now. And I think putting so much vested interest into the quarterback position and a few other players on that team absorb 40% of the revenue. That's not smart business. I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing. Usually he's on top of it, but I did not see $400 million in Dak's future, honestly.
He's worth every penny, though. He deserved it. I mean, from where he came from as a fourth-round pick, he's the best option for Dallas in the offseason, too. So, and I was
I'm
glad to see
you,
him back.
They're not going to win the NFC East.
I think they're going to win.
Who do you see
Washington doing it. I don't see
It is going to be Washington. I think they're going to gel. Chase is a stud, you know what I mean? I really would like to see the Giants there, you know, but let's be honest, you know, that line is shaky.
Dumpster fire.
I think the most complete team in the NFC East is the Redskins. I mean, my opinion, you know.
On paper, I think the Giants have a little bit more balance. But I look at Washington, and let's get into that game. So Washington and New York on Thursday night, I definitely want to go over to TP. Washington, with Fitzpatrick hurt, Rivera already came out and said Cam is not an option because, you know, with unvaccinated players and all that. They're going to go with Henke, you know, who looked pretty good in the playoff game when he had to come in against the Tampa Bay Bucs. But, I mean, I think – to me, and I know Sirius has an opinion, I think Dallas is going to take this division just off of week one performance and the fact that Fitzpatrick is hurt. Now you're coming home, you know, to open up against the Giants on a quick turnaround. The Giants might have Saquon. You know, he was a game-time-ish decision against the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Now he's coming off a couple days' rest. I don't know how much he's going to play. TP, I'd love to get your handicap on the Giants in the Giants and the Washington football team, that Thursday night game that's going to happen tomorrow.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today.
Don't you do this to me, TV. Don't you do it.
Oh, my goodness. We are gathered here today in the bathroom around the porcelain god, a.k.a. the toilet bowl. And we have two teams of crap, the football team, and Big Blue, the Giants. And I don't know how this is going to turn out, but one of them are going to end up in the sewer. One of them may stay up and stay afloat and be the one that don't go down, this doggone thing. But the crazy thing about this situation for the Washington football team, I still feel like they do have life after that Chargers loss. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Sports City, I was the lone one that went with the Chargers in that game. I was the lone one that went with
absolutely.
them. The crazy part is I want to see how this offense still works without Fitzpatrick. I still feel like they do have pieces in that offense, including Gibson, can make plays downfield too. So I think they will end up stumping the Giants and actually, you know, turning this thing around, because the Giants have been pummeling them for year after year. And the Giants, let me just tell you this, Nate Solder, retired. And I don't see people out of work and things like that. He could not block it. I get it. I'm preaching. I cook a little bit, you know. But look,
amen.
He cannot block anymore. Von Miller put a move on him so bad, right? So bad that he lost sight of Von Miller, turned around and started blocking Saquon, and Von had a clean. Listen, he had a clean-cut run at Danny Jones. And I'm looking at this play like, this cannot be serious. Oh, yes?
Yeah.
This a serious play that happened. Nate Solder couldn't do anything with Von Miller. If you think it's going to get easier as the season goes on and your legs are going to get tired because you're backpedaling, having to deal with some of the best pass rushers, I feel sorry when you're going to have to deal with Chase Young tomorrow evening. And I think it's in Washington. So you're going to have to deal with a young bull that wants to come at you. I would send every last bit of him after you every play to make them say timeout, get him out, and put whoever the backup is in his game. Nate Solder is basically content with all of the rings that he may have won in New England, so on and so forth. I don't think he has anything left to prove in New York other than to collect a paycheck and bring home some bacon for the family. He looked horrible. If the Giants can't figure this out and Danny Dimes still has his fumbling issues, this can get worse. I think the football team edges this one out. I hope the Giants can turn this around. They can't look this bad forever for the Giants. But this is what they get. Gettleman and the Mara family, y'all try to go with the Manning guy over Odell, and everything spun downward when Eli put those kids up. So this is tough for the Giants, to say the least.
Yeah.
What, TP? And two things, and I'm going to kick it over. When I saw that block by Nate, so first of all, he missed the block on Saquon. He still missed the block. And then it's like, so the only thing I could think of was that Jay-Z song, This Can't Be Life. This can't be, you know what I mean? This can't be life.
But what if he sees the same color jersey? Wait, it's a blue and white jersey. What are you trying to block him for?
But he still missed the block on Saquon. That's the funny part. Like, it was still a horrific block on his own guy. Like, Mr. Harvey is back in the building. Mike Harvey, give me a quick synopsis on tomorrow night's game, the football team versus the Giants.
Okay, real quick, by the way, that Steelers-Bills game was ugly on Sunday on both sides of the ball. I want to get that in. And if I didn't pick them on the show, it was because we didn't get to them as we were running down the games, and we had to kind of narrow it down because I had the Chargers. I had the Chargers last weekend too, so I was definitely in agreement with you, Thomas, on the Chargers. Tomorrow night, I think that first of all, Sauter's going to have some help if they're going to block Chase Young at all. It'll be interesting to see. You got Tyler Heineken, or Heineke, I should just change his name, as backup quarterback for Thursday night. I mean, listen, he could sell a lot more ads and make probably a lot more money because I don't know that he's really going to make a lot long-term in the NFL. So any trick you can come up with, we'll see. I mean, maybe he turns out to be something legitimate for several years, but I don't think he's that guy. The one common thing that we've seen more than not on Thursday night football is an ugly football game, and tomorrow night is going to be one of them. Like, we're all happy to have football back. It was Christmas on Sunday. We're glad to have another weekend of football, but there are also sometimes games that are just kind of hard to watch and test your patience as a fan. And so you're going to be reminded of the frustrating days of being in love tomorrow night, and hopefully there'll be some exciting plays that really make it worth watching. But any long lasting relationships has its good days and its bad, and every relationship has its frustrating moments. And I feel like some Thursday night games are our frustrating moments as football fans for the most part, and tomorrow's going to be another one of them. So just as you watch tomorrow night, look for the little rays of sunshine in amongst the clouds tomorrow and find the things to be excited about, because there will be at least some good athletic feats with such athletes on the field. So there's my synopsis for tomorrow night's game.
Thanks for that. Sirius, I'll come to you real quick. Give me your handicap on tomorrow night's game, Washington football team and the Giants.
You know, y'all, I live here in the metro D.C. area, and, you know, it's, for me, you know, watching Taylor Heineke run around and, you know, play sandlot football, it's fun until, you know, it's no longer fun. But I do want to take a moment of silence, you know, for the New York Giants. You know, Villain is my guy. I love the guy. You know what I'm saying? You know, his little name, his little son plays for the Steelers. So, you know, that there is going to be his little ray of hope and sunshine for this NFL season.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm a preacher's kid, you know what I'm saying? So let me go ahead and preach real quick and pronounce last rites, because this is going to be ugly, and it's going to get ugly very, very quickly. You know,
no respect.
Kenny Golladay, you spent all this money for Kenny Golladay, and he ejected to show up. Saquon is not 100%. You know, Danny Dimes, Bitcoin, whatever you want to call him. I think the over-under on how many times he fumbles tomorrow is at like 2.5. I'm going to take that bet. Defensively, you guys are solid, but once again, secondary-wise, I'm not understanding what's going on with your secondary. You got a coach that decided to, you know, pull some bush league type stuff after a game and have this team running laps as a sign of discipline. There's so much going on in New York, man, and I'm here for all the smoke. I have it injected in my veins because I love watching my man struggle so much. So, you know, let's have a moment of silence real quick for the New York Giants. Barry, I'm praying for your brother. If, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to send a care package to the door to make sure you're in good spirits. Miss Jordan, you know what I'm saying, get a man an extra hug and extra kiss.
Mrs.
You know
Jordan,
he's going to need it.
Put some respect on that.
I
Mrs. Jordan.
Punk. I said what I said.
Mike D, give me a real quick. We got like 5 minutes left. Give me a real quick take on tomorrow night's game.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think it's going to be Washington's passing game, even though it's a backup quarterback. I mean, he's shown almost, you know, starter level ball every now and then. So I think you'll see that tomorrow night. And I think the defense will have at least 6-plus sacks and maybe 3 turnovers. I think that's going to be the game they're going to win by. I'm sorry, Barry, but it's going to be at least a dub.
I mean, how can y'all do this to me, Mike? We went back. We went way back, man. We used to play.
I know.
This is what you're doing to me.
We're talking about the modern Giants. I think it are going to be synonymous for what the Bills were over the past 20 years. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
I think that's the way New York is moving.
This
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Maybe the owners should sell the team like they were talking last year. I mean, that might be, you know, the refreshment that the spirit of the Giants need. Because, you know, all that micromanaging, obviously we're seeing it doesn't work.
I mean, listen, I agree with you. I'm done with Gettleman. I'm sick of watching Daniel Jones fumble. I mean, he averages over a fumble a game. He's played,
wow,
I think, 28 games, and he's fumbled 30 times. And lost,
really?
I think,
so
what?
He's fumbling every game?
Like, every game, TP. Every game.
Whoa.
Tiki Barber had a slightly lower fumble rate, and then he fixed it. It's a correctable mistake. But he can't correct it. He's not fixing it. It's completely frustrating to watch.
It starts up
Barry,
top, right?
Barry, I said on Sunday to you, I said I don't think that he's going to make it past the 2 to 4 year stint. I still think they're looking for a quarterback for tomorrow. I was hoping that he'll have a bright side with the receiver that they have this year, but I don't think it's going to – I think he's going to make it.
And the funny thing is, TP, the offensive line actually played well. They had probably the best block rate of any team in week one. I think there was a quarterback pressure about 4.5% of plays were quarterback pressures. It was a weird stat, but they said on paper, even though Soldier blocked his own guy, they played pretty well. So it's on Danny Bitcoin to figure it out. Stop fumbling the ball. He killed the drive on that fumble inside the red zone and killed the drive. But listen, I'm going with the Giants. I'm picking Big Blue. Take the points, 3.5 points. I'm taking the Giants because we actually played well against the Washington football team last year. We played well against them, so I believe. Thanks, guys, for a great show. We got a couple minutes left. I want to get quick plugs. Mr. Harvey, Mike Harvey from the barbershop, give me a quick plug. Thanks for calling in, bro. He's on mute again. Are you on mute, Mike? Come on, Mike.
Not from the barbershop. This is Dakers.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, all right, Mr. Dakers, give me a plug. Thanks for calling in, bro.
Thank you very much for your time. Watch out for Laurinaitis. Dakers out.
All right. We'll see you soon. You're always welcome. Come back soon.
No doubt.
Serious. Give me a quick. Yeah, Mike Harvey, I'm pointing to you. Give me a quick plug, bro.
Real quick, Clubhouse on check out the barbershop on Clubhouse. Definitely worth it. We're getting to 2,000 members after a short period of time because of some very talented people and Times' baby on Clubhouse. So come check us out and see what we got going on there. And lots of other content coming from Sports Chefs. We have the brunch on Sunday mornings and some other stuff going on. So check us out, and thanks again for having me.
Yeah, congratulations, man. You guys are doing great work over there. I love listening to you guys. Sirius, Mr. Sirius, give us a quick plug as we get out of here and call us cookout.
You know, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Call of Cookout, man. Before we get out of here, definitely check out SportsCityChefs.com. Blogs is coming in hot, heavy, and fast. So, We just writing, we just doing the big things, man. Definitely check us out. Also, if you like what you hear here, what you hear and see here, definitely check us out on Clubhouse, the app, on all your platforms. Whether you got Android or iProducts, whatever, hit us up, man. We're going there. Pretty much, we just go ham. Popped in today, we're talking music, man. So it's not just sports, man. We just a bunch of guys that just love to just kick it. You know what I'm saying? The barbershop, man. So that's what we do over there. Shout out to all those that helped put that thing together, man. Before we go, man, I definitely wanted to say something real quick. Villain, you're my guy. I love you, man. But I'm sending
Thank
you flowers tomorrow. Let's go watch it, man. The boy says no.
Oh, man. You're lucky I love Malik. Listen, great show. Listen, get to the website. We got blogs coming. We posted one today on some fantasy sleepers for week two. We got more articles coming. Got big things popping. Me and TP taking meetings. Listen, we doing it big. Get to the site. The merchandise is up. The new mask is available. I got it in my hand right here. TP, I got yours coming to you. So hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. And on that note, TP, you know what to do. Close us out, bro.
If you aren't down with the barbershop, please get on there and become a member. We have a cash giveaway for free. Just becoming a member, we are giving out free money at the barbershop. Be there Saturday afternoon. Details will be included if you do that. Now, here at Sports City, love every last bit of what we got going on. We'll be back tomorrow with the baseball buffet. Postseason is coming around. And potentially this Saturday, I think we will be getting into a college tailgate. So I'm going to talk to some people, see if I can get them here to help me hold down the tailgate for Saturday. And, of course, Sunday, the brunch, we will be back fully loaded. Okay, I am reloaded. I need to get my hat for this Sports City Chef T-shirt and hoodie because I am confirming my trip to Vegas in December today because they just let me know that there are $44 flights going to Vegas. So I have to get that done now. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. Tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cap. Taj.
Woo. Connecticut.